Hello, I'm Geneva. Welcome to Sebeni Ni Tama podcast, where we focus on all things wellness and soul healing. We touch on self-discovery and also literature, art, culture, activism, traveling as tools to elevate our mind. We promote self-love. I will be sitting with inspiring guests from all around the world to discuss their personal and powerful journey. I believe our presentation matters. It is only by relating to someone's story that you can ponder about the tools necessary for you to make manifest the best of yourself. This conversation can easily be a representation of you. Thank you for joining us. In this episode, I sit down with Audrey, who is a content creator, YouTuber, and a traveler, inspiring Africans to look at their respective countries with a new lens, bridging over a certain large narrative about the continent. We discussed about a connection with the country of origin, the prejudice she faced, being an African growing up in Great Britain, followed by self-employment journey, social media and building a platform, and of course, self-confidence. Stay tuned. Hello, Audrey. I'm really happy having you on the podcast today. So you are a content creator, you're a YouTuber. The thing I really like about your YouTube channel is that you document your travels throughout your country. And yeah. I really love getting to know different culture. I find your journey really interesting. And I don't know if it was the intention, but I think that in some way you are promoting a more positive narrative regarding your country.
It wasn't really intentional. I just wanted to showcase people, Congo, as many people who live here in the diaspora haven't really been back. Either they came here really young or they were born here. And from what you see in the media, they don't really have a positive image of back home. So what I found by filming is that a lot of people are more interested in going back and their views have changed slightly. So yeah.
And how often do you go to Congo?
It varies. From once to twice a year, depending on my schedule, really. So yeah, but over the next few years, I'm looking to go there a bit more regularly as well.
So you're living in the UK. How do you still feel connected to your country while still living in Europe?
By surrounding myself with people from my community, just relating to things happening in Congo, having discussions or attending Congolese events, or even just speaking to people back home, getting their news and updates. I feel like sometimes I'm there myself when I'm speaking to them, and that's how I still feel connected, by just surrounding myself sometimes with Congolese people and having discussions, or either speaking to people back home.
Would you love to go back at some point for a longer period of time, or maybe you would be willing to live between both countries?
Yes, that is definitely the plan. I'm not looking to stay in the UK forever. No. I want to obviously go back to Congo and build something there, and obviously be making trips back and forth, as I have family here and I've built a life here too. But that will not be right now. It's obviously the political situation right now. It's a bit unstable. But in the next coming years, I definitely plan to do that. That's definitely something that I'll be working on.
That's inspiring. So you are willing to build projects?
Yes. I mean, obviously, we've been educated here. We have many skills that we can go back there and develop. And if you're building businesses or whatever you're interested in, you'll actually be helping people over there, as you'll be creating jobs. So, I think it's a great idea. I think a lot more people should actually go back and experience it, and if they can, build something as well.
Do you feel some type of challenges? Because obviously you grew up in the UK. Mm. I mean, do you think there's a difference when you go back, or do you feel that you're treating differently, or... And if yes, how do you deal with that?
It's a mix. There'll be some people, they know that you're coming from Europe, and then instantly they have their guard up, because they think that you think you are better than them, when that's not even the case, And there are some people that are really welcoming, they want to know more from you, learn more from you. It's just a point that some people think that, oh yeah, she thinks she's this, she thinks she knows it all. When that's just not the case, probably it's from what they've seen on television, or maybe they've experienced a few people coming from Europe and acting like they are superior, which has ruined their image of Africans living in Europe. Mm-hmm. The way that I deal with it is I just try to integrate myself. I just try to, you know, like, just include myself and just, like, show them and tell them that, you know, we're the same people. Mm-hmm. I'm not better than you. You're not better than me. We can help each other. And I just involve myself. I just mix with the local people and just show that there isn't any difference.
And I know that you also travel in different countries in the continent. For example, you've been to Ghana, I think.
Yes, I went to Ghana.
How was that?
Absolutely amazing. Like, it was just an amazing experience that I'll just remember for the rest of my life. So basically, wow. It was actually a volunteering trip. Uh-huh. So I wasn't in Accra, I was in Kumasi. So it was not the capital. And what we were doing is we were going to rural areas and just building small libraries. So not exactly building a building from scratch, but there'll be like unused buildings. And with that, we'll paint it. We'll make shelves and tables and benches and paint it just to make the room a little bit more colourful. And that would be their new library. And there are some schools who donated books that we then gave to the schools in Ghana, and we're just sorting them out from, you know, from different year groups. So yeah, that was a really like, it was like an eye opener, you know, how like some people live on the other side of the world. And it was really like a, how can I say, it was really like a humbling experience. Yeah, really humbling experience. And I'll do it all over again, like in different countries. And it's like they didn't treat me any differently, like, especially when I said I'm from Congo. I didn't say I'm from the UK. I said, I live in the UK, but I'm from Congo. They were like so happy that, oh my God, like, you're one of us. And I was like, yes, I am one of you. So yeah, I really, really enjoyed it.
And are you planning to do volunteering in other countries?
Definitely. That's on the plan. So I just have so many plans. I don't even know where to start. But yeah,
that's a good thing.
I want to go everywhere. I want to do everything. But yeah, I definitely want to go to another African country and do the same thing. But it's just a matter of time. Because, you know, like, the older you get, the more busy you get as well. So, yeah, but that is definitely something that I'm looking to do.
So you're on YouTube. And yeah. I have a lot of admiration for people that daring to put themselves out there. And what I like to call tap into the greatness. Could you tell me more about, I mean, the place of YouTube in your life currently? Do you dedicate a lot of energy to it? How do you manage it all? And also, how did it start?
Oh, with YouTube. So I posted my first video, I think it was around this time in 2015. So I used to watch YouTube for many years for many different reasons. And I used to have friends and families to be like, oh, why don't you start a YouTube? But back then, I don't think I was quite ready because I didn't know what I wanted to post. Mm-hmm. I didn't want it to be a thing where, like, I was just copying everyone else. Because I don't think you'll be successful that way if you just copy what everyone else is doing, because you don't really have a passion for it. Mm-hmm. And finally, in November 2015, I was thinking, oh, I actually want to start a YouTube channel now, but I don't really know what it is that I want to post. And I was just thinking of the things that I was passionate about. And I was like, oh, well, actually, I'm going to Congo this month. Mm-hmm. So let me start off with that, show people Congo. And yeah, so that was like my first sort of YouTube video. And then after that, when people saw my video on YouTube, we got really great response from the community and people outside the community. So I had other friends or just other people that I don't know messaging me saying, oh, you really inspired me to go to Africa, like, I really love it. Wow. So that was great. And then I got a bit more recognition on social media, so where I started getting requests from people saying, oh, I see you've got natural hair, can you post a video about natural hair, this, that, and the other. So I started getting a bit more requests of different topics. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much how I started. But YouTube is not easy at all. I know many people watch YouTubers. Some of them have like hundreds of thousands of subscribers and likes, and the content is amazing. You see them going to all these events, and like, they fantasize that life and they want to do that as well, but a lot of hard work goes into it. There are days when you're like, oh, you know what, I don't want to do this anymore, it's too stressful, like, oh. But that's with every job. But it's like, just don't give up and like stop looking at what other people are doing. It's easy to fall into the comparison zone where you see someone, you know, maybe you started around the same time and they have more subscribers than you, or maybe someone started a year after you and they have more subscribers than you, and you're like, you finally feel discouraged. But then again, you don't know everyone's backstory. Maybe they were doing this for a very long time, but they just didn't get recognition. Mm-hmm. And you just managed to notice them at a point where they're at the peak of their career, not knowing that 4 years ago, they were probably on 200 subscribers. Mm-hmm. So everyone's journey is different. And there are times when you feel down, but just know that there are people who are supporting you. Sometimes it's not about the bigger number. Even if you have 200 people following you, those 200 people are interested in what you're doing and you're inspiring them. So do it for those who have been with you from the start. And yeah, I think like the count, the numbers will come later on. But yeah, it's just, it's not easy, but just keep going. And you just have to plan your content and make sure you're passionate about what you do, because people can tell when someone is just doing it for the fame or to be recognized. Mm-hmm. You can really tell. Yeah. You can really tell. And that's just not good.
Yeah, definitely. Do it for yourself, I mean.
Yeah, do it for yourself as well. Like, what do you want to gain from it? Why are you doing it?
Mm-hmm.
If you only had 50 people watching you, would you still do it?
Mm-hmm. And you know, I know a lot of people who are willing to start to, I mean, YouTube or creating content or being more creative with text, video, photography, of it, struggle to get started, to put themselves out there. What would be your concrete recommendations for these people? They're kind of stuck in this zone of fear. I don't know if it's fear or lack of self-esteem or but they just can't get started.
Okay, I think the best thing is just to start. Like, you need to snap out of the fear, because if you keep having fear, then you're really limiting yourself. You could be achieving so much, but it's just that fear that is holding you back. One thing that's helped me move out of fear, I mean, I still fear sometimes, you know, sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't think I can do this. But what makes me snap out of it is I say to myself, what's the worst that can happen? Okay, I want to collaborate with this person. What's the worst that can happen? They'll just say no. They say no, then what? You move on. Life goes on, you know? You can't work with everybody, but at least you know that you tried.
Mm-hmm.
And the person might not reply straight away. They might reply in a few months' time. And if you hadn't reached out to them, then maybe you wouldn't have had that opportunity. So I think you should just start. Like, no one is perfect straight away. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there's such thing as overnight success. Like, it's something that you're working towards. Like, all the great people that you see today with great work ethics, like Beyonce, for example, she didn't just wake up and was the Beyonce that we know today. You know, like, she worked hard for like over 20 years or if not more.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it just takes time and you just need to start. It won't be perfect to begin with, but it's a start and you can only improve. That's how, that's how I see it. And that's what I try to do as well with my craft.
We live in an era when social media is huge. I don't think it's about being good or bad. I believe social media has its drawbacks and advantages as well. But I would like to know a bit more about the place of social media in your life. I mean, how do you use it? Does it feel, I mean, overwhelming or stressful at times, especially as you're a content creator?
Yeah, I mean, it can be stressful at times. I mean, before I started using Instagram, I'd say professionally, it was just like you just post a picture here and there, you know, you don't really care too much about it.
Mm-hmm.
But then after a while, it's like, okay, I'm just posting pictures for the sake of it. I actually need to do something with my account. So it's like it all goes hand in hand. Your YouTube, your Instagram, it all goes hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
So the stressful part of it is like, it's like, what story are you trying to tell? Like, what are you trying to say with your social media? What is your social media representing?
Mm-hmm.
In a way, sometimes people can sort of see the type of person you are through your pictures. You know, you can actually tell a whole story with your pictures, and it can be quite frustrating sometimes because you don't because you want that engagement as well. Like, you don't want to just post pictures for the sake of posting pictures. If you're a content creator, you can use it to promote your YouTube channel. You can, I don't know, so many opportunities can come through that. But sometimes, you know, you can have a block as well. Like, you don't know what message you're trying to send out as well. And again, it goes back to, you know, trying to find out who you are, knowing who you are and how you can deliver that as well through your Instagram.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Yeah.
Do you feel sometimes the pressure to post when you actually don't have anything to say, when you don't feel like posting, but you want to stay relevant, so you're like, okay, I'm going to post something?
Yeah, I used to feel like that. It's like, okay, it's like, oh my goodness, I haven't posted in 3 days. People are going to forget about me. Oh my days, my days. But, I mean, it happens. It does happen. But what I've learned is that you have a life as well. Like, you have a life. Like, you can't keep letting things that aren't real, like, for example, Instagram, because it's a bit like of a pseudo world, well, to control you. Because then what will happen is, like, you'll be happy online, but then when it comes to reality, you're really unhappy. So I'd say, like, if you don't really have anything going on and whatever, you just want me time, you just want, you know, like, just, you know, just reconnect with yourself, then just get off social media for a bit. If people unfollow you because of that, then let them unfollow you. At the end of the day, what's more important is your own, your mental health and your inner peace. And when you're ready to post, you know, when you're ready. Like, you shouldn't let these things control you, because it can get really, really dangerous. And I was actually, I think I was reading an article the other day that said how, like, how the depression has risen over the last few years. And one of the main reasons is social media. A lot of people look at others and they say, oh, they seem to be living well, let me show that I'm living well as well. It's like people just want to prove something to other people. But start doing things for yourself. Doing things for yourself, and I think that way you can be happy online and offline. So yeah, don't let these things control you.
You turn your hobby, your passion of creating content and traveling, into something bigger, right?
Yes.
You already touched upon that, but I mean, how did you build your platform to make it something a bit bigger? How did you really turn your passion into what it is right now? Do you think it's consistency, or do you think it is being truthful and being passionate about what you do?
Yeah, it's a mixture of these, like consistency, being truthful, being passionate, networking with the right people. And I think the more you do it, the more you attract others as well. Like, people can see your passion and like, oh my gosh, like, she's actually passionate about this, let me see what it's about. Or there'll be others with natural hair, so oh, I see she posts a lot about natural hair, let me follow her to get some tips, to get some advice. And there'll be companies that see that as well. They're like, okay, well, she's actually a good fit for our brand, let her promote that. And obviously when they're promoting you on their page, you're then gaining more followers, and then it's just like a cycle. So you get more followers from that, and then other people will notice you, and then they'll repost you on their page, and you get more followers from that. So like it all links. And I think it's great if you're being true to yourself as well, if you're showcasing what you're passionate about. As like, I think the main aim of social media for me anyways is to connect to a wider audience. So if I'm getting someone from America saying, oh my gosh, I love your channel, you've helped me do this, that and the other, That's you know, that's a plus. It's like, oh my gosh, like, there are thousands of miles and kilometers away, and they managed to see what I'm doing, and that's helping them. So yeah, it's great in that sense, where, like, you know, your passion travels across the globe, and it's a bit overwhelming sometimes as well. So yeah.
What about the monetizing part of it? I mean, did you contact companies, or company started contacting you, seeing what you do and loving what you do?
It's a mixture of both. I mean, when I first started, there were a few companies that contacted me, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm actually being contacted by companies. And then I was like, okay, so let me start contacting companies as well. So then I started contacting companies, and yeah, I started collaborating that way. But what I want to say to anybody listening, even if you're a small YouTuber, like, do not sell yourself short. A lot of people are not charging for their services, and I think that's not fair, and that's not right, because a lot of time and energy goes into creating content. It's not something that's easy, especially with YouTube. You need to find time to film with good lighting, you need to find time to edit, making sure that it's all good, like the visuals are good. You need to find time to upload, and obviously you're showcasing that to the amount of followers that you have, and that could be potentially bringing money to that company, and they're not paying you for your time. So yeah, I think a lot of people should actually start charging for their services, and don't underestimate yourself just because you have a certain amount of followers. Like, they know your power, that's why they're contacting you. So yeah.
And you know, I love YouTube, but one of the things I have difficulties with is the public sometimes, I mean, the comments, I don't know, people really feel protected behind the computer screen and they feel like they can say anything. So I'm just wondering, I mean, how do you deal with this challenge in particular?
It is so challenging. It's like sometimes you'll just wake up and you get a notification and there's someone writing a whole paragraph about just of like horrible things. And so I just think to myself, so you've actually woken up today and you thought, I'm going to go on this person's page and I'm going to be mean. It's like, why?
Wow.
Like, why would you do that? I don't understand why people do that. But then you need to understand that in this world, not everybody's going to like you. Even in real life, not everybody's going to like you. Mm-hmm. You might meet someone today and they say, oh, I don't like this girl. Just for no reason. I'll say, oh, I don't like this girl. I don't know. I just don't like this girl. Mm-hmm. And that's the same thing with when you're on YouTube. Someone might watch your video and say, do you know what? I just don't like her. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to express my feelings. I don't like her. Mm-hmm. And that's life. You shouldn't let these things get you down because it happens in real life as well. The same way someone can meet you in real life and be like, oh my gosh, I absolutely love her. Mm-hmm. You know, she's so lovely. Da, 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 da. I feel connected with her. I want to be her friend. And you'll see that same energy online. Some people will comment saying, oh my God, I just love you. Oh, you know, all this, all that. But that is just life. You need to know that not everybody's going to like you. Mm-hmm. And if you're putting yourself out there, you need to prepare yourself for negative comments as well. Like, they're just inevitable. Mm-hmm. Because it's life. Not everyone in this world is a nice person, which is sad to say. It's just how it is.
Mm-hmm.
And even though it can affect you sometimes, you just need to know that there are people out there that love you,
mm-hmm.
and that love what you do, and you just need to block out the negative comments. And you must be doing something right for them to even go on your page to begin with. Because out of all the thousands and millions of people that are on YouTube, they're on your page writing nasty stuff. So at the end of the day, you're still relevant.
Yeah.
And like they say, with more success comes more negativity, comes more hate. And it's just life, really. It's just life. Like, you probably will never see this person in your life. You'll probably never, ever see them in your life. So you shouldn't let this affect you. Even though it's hard. Especially if, imagine you're having a bad day and then you see a negative comment, you're like, oh my God, let me just log off everything. But yeah, it's just life. You don't know what kind of day that person's had as well. Maybe they've had a bad day themselves and they thought, let me take it out on everyone on YouTube. Who knows? But yeah, don't let it affect you. Yeah, that's what I try to do anyways.
Mm-hmm. So you don't let the negativity get to you because you know why you're here, we could say. And yeah. I mean, your foundation is strong and also you get positive feedback as well, so you're just trying to
see the bigger picture. Yeah, the positive outweighs the negative anyway. And also, like, sometimes it's really tempting to, like, to reply back, like, but then again, it's like, it's not worth it. It's not worth your energy. Like, if you reply back sometimes, it's like you're letting that negativity consume you. Mm-hmm. So just read it and scroll. So, okay, well, next, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I just ignore it. I try to ignore it, yeah.
Good news. Also, being a Congolese, living in Britain, I'm really wondering about maybe the challenges you had to deal with, the prejudice, and also, maybe I'm going too far, but I'm just wondering, maybe the fact that you are sharing your journeys, going to your country, I don't know if it's part of your healing process. Is it a way to rise above the prejudice you faced in the past?
Sort of. I mean, in the past, it was sort of like, okay, I'm from Congo, and people are like, where's that? Mm-hmm. So this was like when I was in secondary school. So secondary school here in the UK is from when you're 11 to 16. So yes, so people were like, oh, where's that? Because back then, there weren't that many people who were embracing their culture as they are now.
Mm-hmm.
And also, obviously, people just making fun of Africa. They'll be making fun of your last name because it's African. They'll be saying all sorts of things. So it was really hard to embrace who you were back then.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, my best friends, they were all from an African country. So one was from Nigeria, the one was from Rwanda. And we're all, like, facing the same thing. So we literally said to ourselves, you know what? Like, as we got older, we said, we're just going to embrace where we're from because it is where we're from.
Mm-hmm.
And now, in a way, from what you said, it kind of makes sense. You know, like, it's a healing process in a way where, like, I rejected my culture when I was younger, that now I am embracing it to the fullest so that it can encourage other young people to not be ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually never really thought about that really until you just mentioned it. So yeah, in a way, it could be seen as a healing process.
So you said when secondary school, you were kind of rejecting your culture because people were making fun of you. How did you actually overcome this? I mean, what were the tools you used, and what would be your advice to someone who faces the same challenges right now, who feel like they've been attacked because of where they come from?
Well, the thing is that at home, especially at home, my parents have always told me to embrace where I'm from, and that if you know where you're from, then obviously you'll know where you're going in life. So that's sort of like, that stayed with me. But obviously when you'll be at school and people are making fun, it's like, how do I embrace where I'm from, where everyone's making fun of where I'm from? And then I think helping me be with people that are like me made me realize, well, actually, my culture is amazing. My culture is that we're lit, because we used to talk about things, because I think a lot of African cultures are a bit similar. So obviously when we'll be speaking about food, that like some foods will be similar, or when we talk about our parents, how we'll be in trouble for this, that and the other, we'll have like similar stories and experiences, and we're like, oh, you know what, like this is actually amazing. So we'll talk about our culture a little bit more. And obviously at school we used to have like events like cultural evenings where like you do something from your culture. So we used to do like dance, we used to like do like some like dances and whatnot, and like that attracted people to us a little bit more. So how I overcame that is just by embracing it. That's literally just by embracing it. I think if you surround yourself with people who are going through the same things,
the community, and
You can actually, like, it's actually a force. Like, when you're together, it's easier to actually go through it.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, if you're in a school that there isn't any people who are like you, then, because I haven't really been in that situation, I'll just say, like, obviously, you're online now. There are many, many, many African YouTubers. And with that, you can feed off their energy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't see anyone who inspires you to be great, then why can't you be that person who encourages others to embrace the culture?
Mm-hmm.
You can always be that one person. So at the end of the day, the culture is who you are. It's part of your identity, and it's not going anywhere. Even if you try to run from it, hide from it, it's still who you are. If they were to do a DNA test, they'll say, Audrey, you are from Congo. And the same thing to you, they'll say, you are from Mali. So it's who you are. It's your part of your DNA. It's not going anywhere. Even if you try to change your name to a more Eurocentric name, you can try to change your nose, you can do whatever it is to your hair. It doesn't change the fact of where you're from. So you just have to embrace it, and embrace it to the fullest, because it's who you are. And I think the more you do that, the more you'll be helping others as well to embrace where they're from.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to give another example, is that obviously when I was growing up, especially on TV, there weren't that many African actors. Mm-hmm. There weren't that many African musicians or people in the entertainment scenes. There wasn't any Afrobeats back then. But now, as I'm seeing people in schools, I'm seeing a lot more school children actually embracing where they're from, embracing that they're from Africa. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, oh, why is this? And it's because there's a little bit more going on. There are loads more African actors. Like, there's Idris Elba. There's there are many others here in the UK doing great, like John Boyega, and loads of others that are actually breaking and going to America and doing great things. Afrobeats is pretty much has taken over. Yeah. People hear Afrobeats everywhere. There are a lot of African YouTubers. So when you're seeing all these things, it's like, yeah, they're from the same continent as me. They're from the same country as me. And what does it do? It builds up your confidence, and you're proud to be from there. So, so I say it's all down to role models as well. So the people that we see in the big screens, that helps boost the confidence of younger people as well. So
Representation is everything. Building a platform, being out there, it takes a great amount of, confidence, self-esteem, and drive. And I'm wondering, how did you build that confidence from?
How did I build the confidence? Yes. Again, it's all about your end goal, and also the reason why you are doing it for. If you're passionate about something, you'll be confident in that area. Like, for example, if you're at school and your favorite subject is English, for example, and then they ask you a question to elaborate about something, you will speak about it. You wouldn't be scared to talk about it, because You love that subject and you're passionate about it. So you want to share it. You want to show people in your class, yeah, I know the answer. I'm going to speak about it. I'm going to say it so confidently. So I think it's the same thing with YouTube. Those are the topics I'm speaking about. I'm passionate about it. So if someone wants to ask me a question, I can confidently answer and I'm happy to share it because I think I'm knowledgeable in that area. In terms of self-esteem, obviously starting out, you won't always have high self-esteem. You always be worried thinking, oh my gosh, like, will people actually watch me? Are people going to laugh at me? But it's a risk that you take. And I think life is full of risk. And if you feel like, you know, you can actually gain something from this, then the risk is absolutely worth it. It's absolutely worth it because you don't know where you could end up. Like, if you had asked me 2 years ago that, oh, you know, you would have, I don't know, people would say that they love your YouTube channel and that they're watching, that like you inspire them. I'll probably laugh and say, really? Like, no, no way, no way. But it's the risk that I took. And, you know, luckily it's working out and it's become like quite a positive channel. And the more you do it, the more confident you are as well. And the more self-esteem you have. So, yeah, I'd say if you're passionate about something, if it's your subject area, then the confidence will come.
When we talk about YouTube, we talk about social media and working on something you're passionate about. And comparison is something that led us absolutely nowhere.
Nowhere at all, yeah.
It brings up absolutely nothing. I don't know, how do you personally rise about that?
But these feelings are, there are so many YouTubers, so many Instagrammers as well, that sometimes you might just fall on someone's page. And you're like, oh my gosh, like, how did they make it? Or that sometimes, like, you're following someone and they'll probably have the same amount of followers as you or even less. And then one day you just stumble on their page again and they've got like 50,000. It's like, what? Like, how did that happen? What am I doing wrong? But then I see that, like, comparison, like you said, you won't get anywhere by comparing yourself to someone else. And instead of being jealous and letting that get you down, you should see it as inspiration. Like, they must be doing something right, or maybe it's just their time. It's just their time. Like, be inspired by what they do and be encouraged by it as well. I think there's nothing wrong with seeing someone as motivation and using their work for you to, like, better yourself as well. The bad thing is when you, like, you know, when you fall into the whole jealousy ruse and you start getting yourself depressed, well, because this person's made it and I haven't made it yet. Like, that's just, you're just ruining yourself that way. Instead, use them as inspiration. Say, like, look at what they do, how they do it, and try and learn from them, you know? And there's nothing wrong with messaging them either, saying, oh, like, can you give me tips? Like I mentioned earlier in this podcast, I said, what's the worst that can happen? They'll say no. Then what? You move on. You know, it's just life, you know. And I think sometimes people don't even mind helping out and giving out a helping hand. They might even feel honoured that you're asking them for advice. So, yeah, just don't compare yourself. Don't fall under the comparison zone, because that's just very dangerous. And you'll just find yourself turning into a really bitter person for no reason. So celebrating someone's growth will just be there saying, oh, I bet they bought their followers. Oh, they're not even that great. Like, just no, don't be like that. It's not nice.
Yeah. Basically, it's all about being inspired, maintaining your comparison to inspiration, and also into maybe building your network and trying to get in touch with different kind of people.
Exactly. It should fuel you to do better. Like, if I see one of my friends doing well, I'll be 100% happy for them. And that will encourage me to do well as well. So, okay, I shouldn't be slacking now because, you know, like, you know, I want to go out there and achieve as well. So, yeah, see it as inspiration, not as a threat, not as competition. Yeah.
And last but not least, I love asking that question. What do you concretely do to stay motivated, whatever you're finding yourself, whether it's reading a book or listening to a particular song or doing that particular activity? I mean, what do you regularly do to fuel your mind and make sure you stay motivated and grounded?
What I do is I love reading success stories, and it really, really fuels me and inspires me. It's like all these big names that we see today, they all started somewhere, and it also shows that people never post their failures. They never post their failures. You know, like, you just see someone's highlights. You don't really see their behind the scenes. And I love reading things like that a lot. Like, I think I read, like, a quote the other day. It said something like, at 27, Janet Jackson won some sort of Grammy or something like that. And at 27, Oprah Winfrey was fired from a TV station. Something along those lines. Mm-hmm. It just goes to show two really successful people right now, at a certain age of their lives, they were at two different stages. But at the end of the day, they still made it and they were still successful. So it just goes to show, just because you see someone that's, for example, 25 and have their life together, it doesn't mean that at 30, you'll still be in the same place. No, like, you'll go forward. And if you work hard, you'll get to where you want to be. So yeah, I love reading success stories and seeing how people made it. And it just goes to show that failing is normal. You have to fail in life in order to succeed. Like, and most times you fail more times than you actually succeed. You get loads and loads of rejections, you know, before you actually get the yes. When you do get the yes, it'll be that yes that helps you change your whole life. So, yeah, I love learning off of other people and just seeing their journey and just seeing how I can better myself. I'd say that's my motivation as well. And seeing how far I've come as well. Like, sometimes I just watch back my old videos. I cringe at them. I'm like, oh, my gosh. But then it's like, yeah, I've grown so much since then. My way of thinking has changed since then. My editing skills have changed since then. My setup has changed. So, yeah, it just shows that improvement and evolving. And when I see that, it's like, okay, I'm in the right direction because I'm not the same as I was 2 years ago. And yeah, and in 2 years from now, I hope to be in a different stage, you know, with an even greater audience, doing even greater things. And I'll be able to look back at this journey and say, yeah, it was all worth it. The sleepless nights, all the tantrums, all the, it's all worth it. Yeah.
Hey guys, thank you very much for listening. Please follow Sebeni Nitama, an interactive, thought-provoking wellness platform, on the blog, on Facebook, and on Instagram. You can find us at Sebeni Tama, spelled SebeniTama. I know it's a bit difficult to spell, but it's definitely worth it. Thank you very much.